like some sort of a bracha to be grateful that there's a sukkah, people are sitting in the sukkah. But by Chanukah candles, there's such a bracha. And there are a number of explanations for this. Tosfos itself has three. But the first answer that Tosfos says is the most beautiful. Tosfos just says, Chavivus Hanes. What does that mean, Chavivus Hanes? There's something that's very dear to us about this miracle. Something about Chanukah that's different. Chavivus Hanes. Chavivus Hanes. It's not an ordinary halachic answer. We don't love the lulav. We're not happy with the sukkah. It's chavivus hanes. There's something unusual here when it comes to seeing the candles. Haroah in their Chanukah. You can't say by seeing a lulav, or by seeing a shayfer, by seeing a sukkah. So what is it that's different? So the Divrei Chaim Sus Yerlein, San Zerov, said in the name of his Rebbe, the Holy Rebbe of the Tali Rapshis from Rapshis Sus Yerlein, De'ikke mitzvah sner Chanukah hu ha-re'iyya. De'ikke mitzvah sner Chanukah, the ikke, the essence of the mitzvah of ner Chanukah is re'iyya, is watching, is seeing something. It's seeing. We don't have that by Sukkah other things. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the ikur, is to see. They say about the Divrei Chaim himself. The Divrei Chaim wasn't so long ago. And they say about the Divrei Chaim himself that after he would make the brachas and he was singing all the songs and everything, he would sit by the Chanukah candles for 6 hours, and the Chassidim say that his eyes never once blinked or closed during that time. They didn't blink during the time. His eyes were open for 6 hours. And they say on the Kedushas Levi, 7 hours. Not that there's any competition. But they say 7 hours that the Vedichva used to sit by the candles. Try to picture that, the Vedichva, the Vichaim Tzaddikim sitting by the candles. Not to take your eyes off of the candles. Stama, they would watch until the candles went down. They were sitting there looking at the candles. In the Haneus Halalu we say, "Ve'ein lana rishus lehishtamesh b'ham, ella lirosam b'lavad." That we're not allowed to use these candles for anything else. You can't count money by the candles. You can't use them for anything else other lirosam b'lavad, just to watch them, to look at them. And the Svarim tell us. And we have to take this to heart, and I'm going to try to explain this over the next 45 minutes or so. But the Svarim tell us that whatever damage a person caused to his or her eyes during the year, and when the Tzaddikim said this, they never imagined the things that people like us, before Mashiach comes, would be seeing. Even if we're not looking, just the things that we see. And the Svarim tell us that looking at the Chanukah candles is able, with looking at the candles, one is able to repair damaged eyes. Eyes that are damaged. I remember I read many years ago, there was a famous writer who was Jewish but not religious. This is back in the 50s, and he went to Krat Heist. He heard so much about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he wanted to meet the Lubavitcher Rebbe. In those years, we were able to go in Yechidus. So this writer went in to the Rebbe, and he introduced himself. And immediately, the Rebbe had like 10 questions on different books that he wrote. And the Rebbe read all of his books, and they were speaking for a while. And then the writer, this author, I don't remember who it was, but the author said, "Rebbe, when I was walking into the building, I was watching the children, your children, not the Rebbe didn't have children, but the kids, the Chassidish children, I was watching them play. And there's something about them that I never saw such," he wanted to say, I guess, chen, but he didn't know the word, but he said, "I never saw such beauty and children, these such beautiful children. What is it about them? So the Bava Shabbi said that you saw children whose eyes haven't been creased by the world. That's the way he said it. Their eyes haven't been creased. Our eyes have creases. They get creased over time with the things that they've seen. And the Sfarim say that the Chanukah candles can fix that. The Chanukah candles can fix them. Can straighten out, smooth out the creases. In the words of the Kozhin Samagid, Lasakin kol echad mashapoga me'oda b'riyas ay. That by looking at the Chanukah candles, we're going to talk about this, what does that mean to look at the Chanukah candles? By looking at the Chanukah candles, a person is able to repair whatever he has damaged with his eyes throughout his entire life. Whatever he has damaged with his eyes. And through this ri'iyah, through gazing at the candles, one can reach yirah shamayim, a true yirah shamayim. That's what the Sfarim tells us. And because of that, we have many, many stories about how the tzaddikim would tell people to come to see them when they would light the menorah. The obvious saw the Abderav, for instance. There are many, many stories, but the Abderav would tell people who were sad, who were depressed, that they should make sure to, wherever they are in the world, make sure to come be by me when I light Chanukah menorah, to watch the candles. There are many stories like that. Many, many stories. So what is this? What does this mean? And how does it apply to simple people like us in Tavshin Pei Gimel, besides the obvious importance of trying to take a few minutes, at least if it's possible, that half hour after Hadlakas Neiros, and to sit by the candles, not just to daven and to say all the things that you have in the Siddur, and there's a lot of good stuff to say, a lot of things to say, but just to sit and to look. I'm not talking about davening, to look. So let's try to understand this in our Madrega. These are the words of the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim says the following. V'ini be'emes im ho'lech odom acha ma'ara enav chasa sholem yipol bereshes. The Sanjurov says that if a person follows what he sees with his eyes, he's going to fall into a reshes, into a net, into a trap. K'mashakosu, as we say in Kriyishma, v'losasu achrei levavcha ma'achrei enechem. Be careful not to be misled by your eyes, by what you see. The Rebbe says that one has to look with what's called chachma. We find in a number of places in Chazal, and even in English, or maybe it's not correct English, but certainly in yeshivish English, when someone says something, you could say, I see what you're saying, right? I see what you mean. Or even in English, to say, I don't know if that's the best English to say, but that's right. I think it's acceptable to say, I see what you mean. We're not talking about looking at something. The person is talking to you. Or you heard an idea, a concept. And you can say, I see the point you're trying to make. I see what you mean. I see what you're feeling. In the language of Chassidus, in the language of Chazal, of Torah, we find in the Gemara a number of times such a thing, roa ani as divrei ploni. To be find that one chacham says, there's a disagreement among the chachamim, and one of the chachamim says, roa ani as divrei ploni. I see the opinion of so-and-so. And I agree with that rabbi, with that chacham. Roa ani as divrei ploni. So we find such a thing, libi roa harbe chachma. We find that Shlomo Melech says, we find that seeing is not just the regular way of seeing something with one's eyes. So the Divrei Chaim says, this is called seeing with Chachma. Hainu ri'yas ha-chachma. V'hine, so Sanjurov says, V'hine ha-yevonim rotsu lafatois levavenu lashkiach mi-divrei Torah. The Greeks wanted us to look at the world in a different way. That we shouldn't look at the world with the eyes of chachma, v'leilach rak achamasha hateva roa, but to only follow what we actually see, what one actually sees with one's eyes. Teva, which means nature, the world. And when Chazal spoke about the Golus, the exile of Yavan, as being hinted at the beginning of the Torah, in the word Choshech, that there was darkness, the Choshech is Yavan. The Choshech is darkness. Choshech, of course, is the same letters as Shachoach, which means to forget. Like we say in that Lanisim, Lahashkicham Torah Secha, to forget the Torah. And the Rebbe says, L'zeh choshchu einehem shel Yisrael. This is what is meant, that the Greeks tried to darken the eyes, to bring choshe, darkness, into our eyes. L'zeh mitzvah hu b'riyah. Therefore, the mitzvah of Chanukah is the only mitzvah that the entire mitzvah really is. Of course, you have to light, but the entire mitzvah is to see the candles. Hainu l'kadesh ha'ri'iyah. And the purpose of the candles in our war against the shallow way that the Greeks look at reality, only through the eyes of nature, physical eyes. Therefore, because of that, the Rebbe says that the effect of looking at the Chanukah candles is Hain L'Kadesh HaRi'iyah, to sanctify our vision, our way of seeing things. Leilech Achar Ra'ois Ayin HaGashmi, that we shouldn't be drawn after the physical, the plain, superficial, physical way of looking at people, at looking at the world, at looking at challenges and difficulties. There are Greek eyes and there are Jewish eyes. There are the eyes of Athens and there are the eyes of Yerushalayim. Elarak mashenir b'chochmas haTorah hanikras or. But rather, Jewish eyes, Yerushalayim eyes, look at the world, look at each other, at our children, look at everything through the eyes of the Torah that's called Or, light. Kinir mitzvah, the Torah, Or, through the light of Torah. Yavan is darkness, to see things in that dark way, and the light of Torah is the way that we were created to be able to look at everything in our lives. So what the Divrei Chaim is saying is the following. The Divrei Chaim is saying that there are two madregas, two levels, or two ways of using our eyes. One way is to evaluate everything by how everything seems to us when our eyes are open. And with open eyes, you look and you see. So with open eyes, let's say you could see that this person is a person that you know at school or at work or in the family who's extraordinarily difficult, who behaves terribly, who carries on and so on. And when you look at that person with the lowercase type of eyes, if you look with regular Greek eyes, so then the conclusion you come to is that this person is a miserable person. There are plenty of people, we all know people like that, and naturally that could lead to Lashon Hara and Machlokes, all the aggravation that we have and the reason that Mashiach is not here yet, because of how we look at each other and how we look at the world with Greek eyes. That's one way of looking, with the eyes open, that only see the reality, the plain reality. Those eyes are also, obviously, are also seeing all kinds of beautiful things and other things, but the eyes that are open and see reality in that way. But on Shabbos, this past Shabbos, I was talking a little bit about Yitzhak Avinu. Maybe some of you were there. I was talking about Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu was not able to see. Yitzchak Avinu saw more than anybody else. Yet the way that Yitzchak Avinu looked at the world was with the way that the Sanjav calls Ri'iyas HaChachm. On Shabbos I was talking about how the Torah describes how Yitzchak was touching and was able to feel and to smell the senses that are much deeper than what you see with your eyes. I'm sure that you all heard of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a son, had a grandson, Rabbi Leibel Eiger, Shusselani. He went over to the Chassidim. And Rabbi Leibel Eiger had a son, Rabbi Avram Eiger. And Rabbi Avram Eiger wrote a Sefer, Shevet Miyehuda. And he talks about the eyes of Yerushalayim. He talks about Jewish eyes and the way that you and I are able to see things if we use Chanukah in the right way. And Rabbi Avram Eger says that in the davening on Shabbos morning, the davening of Nishmas Kol Chai, so there's this one sentence that's very, very beautiful. I'm just going to remind you, we say it every Shabbos. V'chol ayin, you could finish the sentence, v'chol ayin lecha, no? Titzapa. V'chol ayin lecha titzapa. What does the word mean, titzapa? V'chol ayin lecha titzapa. What does it mean, titzapa? Just to translate, no?
To long for.
To long for, right? U'mitzapim, mitzapim li'yishul, right? Haratzofim means to see something from a distance, but it means to long for something. So v'chol ayin l'cha titzape. So Rabbi Avram Eger says that Jews have eyes, inayim tzofios. Jews have eyes that look for something beyond the present, beyond what's right in front of them. They have inayim tzofios. They have eyes that are filled with longing. How do we understand what is the meaning of eyes that are filled with longing? So listen carefully. We just read in the Torah recently about the first zivig. Now, of course, Adam was with Chava and Avraham Avinu was with Sarah Imenu, but the relationship is not described at all. The first actual shidduch that we see taking place, the zivig, the shidduch that takes place, is Yitzchak and Rivka, right? That's the first zivik. And you know that when something is in the Torah for the first time, I'm so sorry that you're standing. There's some seats over here. No, no, they're not. I'm not looking.
There's one here, and then there's like three over there.
Oh, go, go.
There's another one over here. And then there's one over here. There's one more.
Okay. So the first, when you have something that appears for the first time in Tanakh, you've all heard this video, I'm sure, many times. But Tzadik HaKohen talks about this a lot, that when something appears in Tanakh for the first time, whenever you want to understand that Indian, always go back to the first time that it appears in Tanakh. If you want to understand the word in the deepest way, go back to the first time it's in Tanakh. So the first shidduch in Tanakh is Yitzchak and Rivka. Right? It's the first shidduch in Tanakh. Yitzchak and Rivka. So Avraham Avinu sends Eliezer. Right? Eliezer was the one who was sent. He was the one that was making the shidduch. Eliezer was sent by Avraham Avinu. And we're told in the Torah where he first met Rivka. And it says, Hine Anochi, he's talking about what happened, and he says, Hine Anochi Nitzav al Ein Hamayim. Ein Hamayim. What does that mean? Ein Hamayim? It means a spring of water. Ein Hamayim is just really a shorter word for Ma'ayan. Right? Ma'ayan, a wellspring. a spring of water. One of the shidduchim we see in the Chazal make a big issue of this, is that the shidduchim in the Torah are made by water. So it says, Hine anochi nitzav el ein hamayim. And he says also, when he tells over the mice, he says, Va'ova hayom el ha'ayin. I came to the ayin. He doesn't call it a ma'ayan. He calls it Va'ova hayom el ha'ayin. Now the word ayin means a spring of water, but it also means what? It means the eye. Va'ova hayom el ha'ayin. Va'tered ha'ayina. She went down to draw water. Va'tered ha'ayina. There's no place else in all of Tanakh where the word ayin appears consecutively the way that it does in the story of the first shidduch, the first marriage. Vatered ha'ayina, and so on. And the reason that this, and Rabbi Avraham Eger says, the reason the Torah makes such a big deal about this is the Torah is telling us that Eliezer, of course, Eliezer was sent to find an appropriate shidduch for Yitzchak. What's fascinating is that ultimately Yitzchak is the one who would not be able to see. Not yet at that point, but Yitzchak is the one who has the greatest vision of all the others, the one who can't see with his eyes. He sees in that way of seeing that's called Riyas HaChachma. And the test for the shidduch, who is this Rivka, is somehow connected or depends upon her ability of a Tered Ha'ayina. The meaning is by the Ayin. Va'ov Hayom El Ha'ayin. And this tzaddik explains, it's not just about drawing water. Even from the simple story of Rivka drawing the water, she was able to see beyond what was needed at the moment. And the Gam L'Gemalecha Ashke, it's a very deep parasha. She would, and the camels also need to drink. The Gam L'Gemalecha Ashke, I will give them as well. And the point that the tzaddik makes is that in order to make a shidduch for Yitzchak, Eliezer had to find a girl who had those eyes, of chol ayin l'cha titzapa, who had Jewish eyes, who had Yerushalayim dikah eyes, the eyes that see beyond what's right here, the eyes that are looking beyond. And what's fascinating, I'm not going to go into this right now, is you remember what was the first reaction, what was her first reaction when she laid eyes upon her future husband? No, have she covered her eyes. The whole meaning that we have by the bedekening is that the chasen covers the eyes, and that the kala wears a veil by the chuppah, by the chasana, and the covering of the eyes is of course saying that I want that for the rest of our lives that we should be able to see something much deeper than what we see with our eyes. Not to look at each other, chalila, with the eyes of Athens, but to look at each other with the eyes of Yerushalayim, that even we should be able to see each other when our eyes are closed. Not to look at each other just with the eyes that are open, but to look at each other with the eyes that are closed. This is called Riyas HaChachma. Riyas HaChachma. That's the deeper meaning of V'chol Ayin L'cha Tetzapa. Rabbi Nachum, I know I've spoken about this many times in the past, Rabbi Nachum says how when a person, when something hurts a person, There's an instinctive thing that takes place, that if there's something sharp or something hurts you, you automatically close your eyes. And Rabbi Nachman explains, it's a very deep Torah, but Rabbi Nachman talks about how when a person is trying to see something further away, you have to, right? You focus your eyes. It's strange, because you would think that if you have to see something further away, you'd open your eyes more. But it's not the way we do it. When you're trying to focus on something, you dafka close your eyes. When you really have to focus on something, you shut them tight. So what Rabbi Nachman says is that when a person is going through some pain in his or her life, and there's a moment of pain, the person instinctively closes the eyes to see past the pain, to see further away, because this moment is unbearable. This moment hurts. And in order to see the way that a Jew is able to look at things, which is like the Sanzer Rav said, to see in a deeper way than just looking at something for what it is, but to see beyond that and what's past that, what's going to be past the difficulty and the suffering. And that's why the first Shidduch was written in such a way where everything is revolving around the ayin, the well, the eye. And Rivka covers her eyes, Yitzchak is the one who doesn't see, in the future doesn't see. Everything is revolving around this way of seeing. And so when the Svarim are telling us that our eyes can be healed by gazing at the Chanukah candles, Ad Kedei Kach, that Tzaddikim couldn't take their eyes off the candles. And then we have this strange mitzvah that if you see candles, you make a bracha. Again, I'm not talking about the practical. We don't do that now. Baruch Hashem was like to light candles. But if a person sees candles, then to make a bracha, Shosa Nisim Avosayim, to make a bracha, because Riyas HaChachma, this way that the Rapshus is talking about seeing things, is when a person looks at things with the eyes open, you're only seeing what is. When you close your eyes, or when you look at the Chanukah candles, when you stare at the Chanukah candles, you know that the light of Chanukah, the Svarim tells, the Bnei Sosha speaks a lot about this, that the candles of Chanukah are from the hidden light of creation, the Argonis. That light, the first 36 hours of creation, until the end of that first Shabbos, Adam HaRishon and Chava saw with the Or HaGonis. The 36 hours, those 36 hours correspond to the 36 candles of Chanukah. The 36 candles that we light, I'm not talking about the Shabbos. The 36 candles of Chanukah. And those correspond to the 36 hours that Adam and Chava were able to see the world with that light that's called the Or HaGonis, which is the Riyas HaChachma that we're talking about. And therefore, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us something interesting. We find in the Svarim, this is in the Kabbalah Svarim and other places, where there's a lot of discussion about how when you watch the candles, they look like they're dancing. Right? When you watch the candles, they don't stand still. The candles, the flame is dancing. And the Svarim talk about what's this inyan of the candles dancing. Because the candles are excited because the candles are able to see what's going to be in the future. The candles are able to see something beyond what's happening right now. The light of the candles is the light of a chol ayin l'chatitzapa. And in the candles, especially in the Chanukah candles, there is that simcha, there is that joy of what's going to be beyond the present moment. So now we can understand on a deeper level the war that took place, Chanukah time, between Yisrael and Yavin, Yerushalayim and Athens. Everybody knows that the Greeks didn't have any plan to destroy us. They didn't even have a plan to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The whole tachlis of that was chashku einayim sheyisrael, to damage our way of looking at things, to damage our vision, our eyesight. Like the Sanzer Rav said, leilech rak achamasha hateva roa, to look at everything in life only according to its plain physical nature. Look at everything according to science and math, according to the laws of nature, to see everything in such a way. And that's why, at that time in our history, we almost lost it. We almost lost it. Not by being killed. But I'm sure that you all are familiar with what was going on and the whole process of Hellenization that was taking place. And And when Chazal tell us that the Greeks had a particular milchama against us keeping Shabbos, they couldn't stand that Jews would keep Shabbos. They couldn't stand that we would have a bris milah. They couldn't stand Rosh Chodesh. We don't have time now to go to each one of these things that the Greeks made davka and milchama against these things. But the point of Greek culture and that milchama and the whole inyan of Chanukah was lashkicham, la chashchu einayim shei Yisrael, to take away from us the ability to have eyes that are filled with hope. I mean, if the besides myself, there are other people here who had grandparents that went through the Holocaust, and if they didn't go through the Holocaust, the grandparents and great grandparents that went through all kinds of sorrows, and sometimes in our own lives, not to compare to that, but in our own lives, there's no way to explain Jewish existence if not for the eyes of Cholayin Chatzapa, because I've often discussed this with my wife. And I try to go almost every day. I'm able to, Baruch Hashem, to go to see my mother. And she spends a lot of time now just sort of staring out. She doesn't talk as much as she used to, and she looks out a lot. And I look into her eyes, and I ever since I'm a kid, I'm thinking about, I'm imagining what those eyes saw. It's unimaginable what my mother's eyes saw. It's unimaginable what she saw. You know, we read about it in books, and you see some films, whatever, from what happened. But those eyes, those sweet and soft eyes, what they saw. And, you know, you and I know so many people that saw things that are not anywhere as horrible as that stuff. You can't even compare. And they spend their whole lives like in therapy and taking all kinds of pills. And with all of that, Himlo Mestadrim, it's not working. And to have seen those things, I mentioned to one of the Chaburis that my wife, my mother was talking a few weeks ago about she was coming, talking again and again about how she, the last time she saw her mother, and when they were pulling her away, and she saw her mother turn around, and her mother was waving to her and trying to get back to her. And this is what my mother, it's lingering in her mind for 75 years, you understand? That last thing that she saw. So I've lived with the question of, so how did these people, like my mother, how do they get up and how do they manage? How do they manage? My mother grew up in a happy home. Hashem. I mean, there were times that I saw that it was, you know, but it was a happy home. And my mother left, and she had her best friend. And they left a lot. And we didn't feel that it was, didn't feel the darkness. We didn't feel the chayshach of Yavan. We felt the aura of Yerushalayim in the house, my sister and I. And how was that in those homes? Not all of the homes were like that. I have friends who didn't have homes like that, who were children of survivors. But in our home, Baruch Hashem, was like that. And the answer is that there's a koach of the Ner Chanukah, of the light of Chanukah, that makes it possible for a Jew to live through the most horrible, unspeakable things that the mind can't even imagine, and to see beyond that, to see that there's something after that, to see that that's not the end of the story. There's a whole Chassid Shemais, I'm not going to go into it, it takes like 20 minutes to tell, I'm not telling it now, but with the Chayzer from Lublin and the Malach HaMais, but to see after the patch, to be able to see after the patch, a lot of what we're missing now is this ability to see further. To see further. Everybody gets stuck in that Greek And that Greek way of looking at reality, ki'ilu, zehu. This is it. This is it. But only what you see. So Matisyahu, the Chashmonai, Matisyahu, Lvanov, and what happened over there with this family. So there was no hope. There were a couple, there was one family of these Kahanim, one family of these Kahanim. The vast majority of Jews at that time already gave up. They gave up. They already were going along with the whole culture of Athens. The vast majority of Jews. And you had this mishpacha, this of Kahanim. And these few, like we say in the davening, Rabban Biad Ma'atim, these few people had still were holding on to V'chol Ayin L'chot Tetzap. They were still holding on to optimistic eyes, the eyes of Yitzhak Avinu, the eyes of Rivki Imenu. They still had those eyes of Yushalayim, which is called the Ayin Ha'olam, which is called the Eye of the Universe. Yushalayim is called the Eye of the Universe. Chorban is Eini Adam Ayin. Yushalayim is the Eye of the Universe. And these tzaddikim believed by Emunah Shleima that even though they were stuck in the reality of Bizman Hazeh, they still continued to believe Bayom Mahem. They continued to believe that there'll be something beyond this. I once told a story here in Shul that there was a big tzaddik, a ger chassid, a big mashpi, a big kenda mashpi, in Chedushim, in the yeshiva in Tel Aviv. He lived through all kinds of crazy. He was like in 7 concentration camps. This is Abgudel Eisner. This tzaddik, Abgudel Eisner, when he was in concentration camp, in one of the camps, he was sitting next to a young fella, and this young guy was like giving up. My father, Zichron Levach, has said that when you were in the camps, when a person, you could tell in a second, you looked at the person when he gave up. And once you gave up, then it was just a matter of an hour or two and you finished. You were done. And Abgudel Eisner was sitting next to, there was a look in the eyes. And Abgudel Eisner was sitting next to this young man. And this young man was finished. He had that look. That blank look. I'm done. And Abgudel Eisner grabbed him and said, I know what you're thinking about. I know what you're thinking about. You're thinking about that when you get out of here, and when you're going to get married to a wonderful, beautiful girl, you're thinking about what food you're going to want to have by the chasna, right? And you're also thinking about what kind of a klezmer, what kind of music you want to have, what songs you want to play by the chasna. You're thinking about that, right? And he said, this guy looked at him, chasna, food. And Abgul Eisner says, yeah, that's easy. And he got him to laugh. He got the guy, Abgul got him to laugh a little bit. And Abgudel Eisner said that he met him many years later, a married person with 4 children. He met him in Yerushalayim. And he says, Gedenks? You remember? Tell me, what did you have by the chasna? What food did you eat? What music did you have by the chasna? You'll forgive me for saying this. A goy can't understand this. Akedekach. I know it doesn't sound nice. I don't mean it in a derogatory way. Chanukah, the aura of Chanukah, tells a Jew that there's going to be something after this. There's going to be something after this. And even if a person has a life, God forbid, with a life, listen, there are people in this world that don't get married. There are people in this world that get married and they don't have children. There are people in this world who have children, and the children don't live. There are people who are in this world, and they get sick, and they die at an early age. There are bad things that happen in the world. And those who think that bitachon means everything is gewaltig and everything is just fun and fantastic, they suffer a lot, those people. Because that's not the Metzius until Mashiach comes. That's not the Metzius. The Metzius is that the world is a hard place and life is not easy. And there are many, many, many disappointments. And it doesn't always work out the way that we want and the way that we're looking forward to. It doesn't always work out that way. But a Jew lives every moment of his life knowing that this is not the end of the mice. This is not the tachlis. These eyes, I'm going to start to finish up. These eyes are the eyes of Yosef HaTzadik. These are the eyes of Yosef HaTzadik. There's no other person, or I should say no other people besides really David HaMelech and Yosef HaTzadik whose eyes are different. David HaMelech is Yifei Naim. He had beautiful eyes. So sometimes the Torah says such a thing. And if you say it about a girl, not about a guy. That David HaMelech had beautiful eyes. No, Chazal, therefore, I have to explain. Well, it means something else. It doesn't, you know. It doesn't mean that David HaMelech had such eyes. The Koch HaMashiach and David. And Yosef HaTzadik. The Yosef HaTzadik, it says in Beferish, Ben Poras Yosef, Ben Poras Alei Ayin. Alei Ayin. And Chazal tell us that during that horrible time of his life, when he was in this crazy matzav in jail, so he was able to look at the window, right? You remember what he saw at the window in the prison cell? What did he see in the window? The image of his father, right? His father giving him hope. And you know the word chalom, ches lamed nun. You don't have to have the vav. Ches lamed nun is the basic word. It's ches lamed and nun is all other letters lahadlik near Hanukkah, which is why some people have a custom to light the Hanukkah candles in the window. Lahadlik near Hanukkah. Everybody, some do. Many people do. Lahadlik near Hanukkah is the word chalom. That Yosef HaTzadik, Chazal make a point to explain this. What does it mean? Olei ayin. Olei ayin means that he was able to rise above what his eyes saw. Olei ayin. He was able to see beyond. So this wife of Potiphar was coming after him. And if he would have followed his eyes, what his eyes saw, because I'll say she was the most beautiful woman. If he would have followed what his Greek eyes were telling him, he would have fallen into that. If he would have followed his natural eyes, the eyes of Teva, of Athens, then he never would have been able to survive what he went through. For no fault of his own, that his own brothers did that to him. On the Amadreg, whatever they did, that his brothers did that to him. And he ended up in such a life, in such a way. Chazal say, about Yosef HaTzadik, he says, Alei Shor, that the HaMakash Baruch Hu, Alei L'Shalem Schar Osahai. And Hashem says, I'm going to pay the reward. I'm going to give a reward to the one who had such an eye, who looked at things in such a way. There are many, many things about the eyes of Yosef HaTzadik. The Seif Dara Chavis is as follows. Every time that you look at another person, every time, let's say, if a person is fortunate enough to have children, as Hashem. The person, thank God, is able to have children. There are two ways you could look at the child. You could either look at the child just with the eyes of Athens, and you could judge the child and define the child according to the way he or she is carrying on, not doing well in school, not so religious, et cetera, whatever it might be. And to define the child according to the way he or she looks with your eyes. When you look with those eyes, but those are the eyes of Athens. Or you can look at your child in a way of chal ayin l'chatitzape, the eyes that are filled with longing. Longing eyes mean, I'm not saying that my kid is an angel. I'm not saying that his or her behavior is the way that we would like, but I'm able to see beyond. I'm able to see beyond this. I'm able to look further, to see further. And women in particular have that ability. Men don't have such eyesight, such strong eyesight as women. To be able to see the child, not for who the child is right now, but who the child can become. That's for Chalayin Chatatzapa. The same way that we don't see the world now for what it is, but what it's going to be when Mashiach comes. It's a different world. And when you look at the world in that way, then the candles are actually dancing. You could actually see the candles dancing. You could see where for another person, all of life is filled with gloom and doom. You have these people that are always walking around, zebrachen, all broken and depressed and sad because of the metzias that they're living in. And people have hard, there's a lot of hard things going on. But then you see other people who had much greater difficulties in life. Not that we compare people, but metzias says that people had much greater difficulties than the lame simcha. They're filled with simcha. They're filled with joy. So where does that come from? It comes from the way that they look at everything. To look at life with the eyes of Rivki Main, an eye in Taiva, to be able to look at something and to close your eyes and to see if I believe in this child, and with my belief in this child, I shut my eyes, I close my eyes tight, and I can see this child 5 years from now, 10 years from now. To be able to see things in such a way. You know, one of the Chevra gave me this book the other day. I'll just give you a second background about what this is. There's a method of parenting. Some of you might have heard of it. It's called twisted parenting. It's Avi Fishoff, is an extraordinary person who has been spending many, many years now helping Chevra, who have difficulties, who have great challenges with their children, and again to the children's Yiddishkeit and the choices that the children have made. And he doesn't work with the kids, he works with the parents. My wife and I have had the schus of being together. Keshanashi, you might have heard of it, it's the same opinion that my wife and I have been at a number of the Shabbatonim together. I'm in touch with many of the Chevra from that world of Keshanavshi, of TP. It's called TP, Twisted Parenting. Twisted means that it's counterintuitive. It's healthy parenting. It's very different from the way the world thinks that parenting should take place. I mean, you can look it up. I'm sure it's all on the computer, all these things. There's a lot about it on the computer. One of the parents, we have some parents here in the shul, and one of the parents, it's a whole system, it's a whole way of life, this TP, and of how to deal with these situations, even if, God forbid, of kids that are marrying out, or kids that are, you know, when it comes to other issues that are nowadays that are hurting a lot of the chevra. So my wife and I, I've spoken about this a few times, that my wife and I were so unbelievably taken by our experience being with these families. The last one that we were at, there must have been around 350, 400 families. We were together with them in Mezhbuz. We went to Baditchev and to Mezhbuz and to Uman. The other time before that, it was a little bit less exotic. It was New Jersey. And you see these families, the stories that we were sitting and talking to these people, the stories beyond belief, just beyond belief, what they've been through, these parents. Many of them have two or three, four kids. And you think, off the derech, there's like nowhere near the derech. And I'm talking about a significant amount of these were Chassidish people, not just Chassidish, but a lot of Chassidish people. Big Talmid Chachamim. And we found out that a number of the people, so I was there to give some shiurim to talk, but some of the other people were giving shiurim that they themselves have kids like that. It's a whole experience. And I mean, my wife and I never saw such emunah, I don't know, simchas chaim, So this book, I didn't read it yet. I just got it. There's one of the parents. It's called Notes from a TP Parent. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I have a little bit of time when I try to go through this. These are mostly poems and notes of one of the parents. It's nothing that you would put into, you know, together with Shakespeare, or, you understand. I'm not talking about highbrow poetry, but it's real. It's real. It's a mother talking. And so I opened it up. I opened it up like 2 hours ago. I just opened it up. I got it, and I hadn't looked at it, and I opened it up, and I opened it up to the page. 265 is called The Last of the Hanukkah Candles. I said, okay, and I'm supposed to read this. It's very simple, but something about it I found was sweet. Remember that this person, this mother, has been through, again, I don't know who she is, there's no name here, but has been through terrible stuff. I was blessed to grow up in a positive, fun-loving family. We laughed. We still laugh. My chosheva parents only saw the good in every situation, in every person. They saw hope where others saw doom. My father was a true believer. People said my father wore rose-colored glasses. He saw only good. He envisioned good outcomes. My father, they said, wasn't realistic. Why are you seeing the positive in everything unrealistic? My father's rose-colored glasses had a pretty strong tint. He always knew things were going to be good. And then I joined TP. In other words, I have problems with my kids, and I joined. And when I wake up in the morning, I try to remember to put on my rose-colored glasses, just like my father's. Something about it that struck me. You know, Reb Leiblager said that the ideal way to light Hanukkah candles, you all know, is in Mishnah. We'll be able to do this again soon. And when you go to Yerushalayim, you'll see many of the candles that are lit by the openings of the houses, right? And there's a whole discussion whether nowadays we light that way, but in Yerushalayim, most people do. But soon we're all going to light that way, by the Pesach Habayis. By the Pesach Habayis. By the opening. And Reb Leiblager said, we do that because, there are many reasons why but he said, we do that because Yaakov Avinu, after Yosef was missing. But Yaakov, deep inside of him, believed that he was alive, right? He never gave up. That's why he couldn't be consoled. He couldn't be consoled. He never gave up. So Leiblager says that Yaakov Avinu used to go out every night, and he would hold candles by the door, and he would look out into the darkness to see where Yosef is coming. He never gave up. So we light the menorah by the door. Hear this? Because the candles of Hanukkah mean, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Yosef's coming home. Yosef's going to come home. In the end, it'll be exactly the way that Hashem wants. In the end, Yosef came home. In the end, we're all going to be home in Yerushalayim. We should be zeichem mitzvah to see the candles of the Beis Hamikdash. We should be zeichem to see the candles of Ariches Nelevan Yishayim, Shechen, the candles of Mashiach Zukem. We should have a lechtik and a ferech of Chanukah and the Shabbos. Mitzvah Hashem, we still have more time to talk about Chanukah. And I was just so, my wife and I were there last week. The Sufganiyot, they're going fast. My mom is going fast. So we still have a couple of weeks to put on a couple of pounds and to eat a lot of sufganiyot and to be feilich. We should be zeichem et Hashem for the lashon amitis. Maybe I may not have made it up.